I know there's some communities throughout the US where vacation rentals are under fire right now. So being able to point to this and say, as an industry, we have these fairly rigorous protocols, and here's what we're doing to make sure that all of our guests are safe. Those conversations absolutely need to be happening at the local and state levels.
Good day and welcome to Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge in Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals, both domestic and abroad.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you will join us on our journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it.
We're back, and we're better than ever. I'm Tim.
And I'm Sarah. Today, Tim, we are going to get cleaned up. Tell us about it.
We have Michelle Williams with us today, Sarah. She's the general manager of Atlantic Vacation Homes up in Glasta, I think is how they say it up there. I'm not sure. She is well-versed on cleaning and cleaning standards because she serves with me, I might add, on the VRHP Advisory Council. She's the chair of that council, which puts her on the board of directors of the VRMA. So we welcome Michelle.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Michelle, remind us what VRHP is again for those people who don't know all the acronyms that Tim throws out.
VRHP stands for Vacation Rental Housekeeping Professionals, and I've been personally part of that organization since 2018. I was on the board, and then when VRHP merged with the VRMA, the advisory council was formed, and now I'm, as Tim said, chair of the council.
And she has a little bit more of a resume here, Sarah, we need to share. You may not know, we're punching above our education weight again. UNC grad and Wake Forest grad. She's a Yale grad.
I usually just say that I went to school in Connecticut, but yes, I did go to Yale. I was an English major.
English major. So you're also on the board of Discover Gloucester. Your Atlantic Vacation Homes. Tell us about what you do. I know you're up there on the North Shore area of Boston.
So we're in an area called Cape Ann, which is north of Boston. And our office is specifically located in the town of Gloucester, or Glasta, as you did say. You said it almost correctly.
Okay.
Discover Gloucester is our DMO for the area. So I'm also a member of that board. So heavily involved in all things tourism and hospitality.
Terrific. And housekeeping here lately. We are not going to scoop our friends at VRMA, but I guess I'll start with saying, what does it feel like to almost be an internationally published author? Because you've just finished a document that we need to talk about today.
It's true. I did the bulk of the editing along with Dirk Johnson on that document, but it was a team effort. I was putting pen to paper, but it was not all my ideas. VRHP Council was incredible and collaborative, and it was definitely a team effort.
Very cool. And what Michelle is referring to is that this week, maybe even by the time you've listened to this, Verma is coming out with, or VRMA. How do you guys like to say it? VRMA or
VRMA? VRMA and VRHP. Okay.
But then Verbo.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So VRMA is coming out with some guidelines for all of us professional vacation rental managers, which we are waiting for bated breath to read about that. And now I'm so excited to know that someone from Yale, an English major, has edited that document. So it's definitely going to be better than the Airbnb one done by someone from Stanford or something. So that's cool. Speaking of Airbnb though, Michelle, we've all heard that that Airbnb is going to have some sort of designation now if you follow certain cleaning standards. How they have any clue if anybody's doing this, I have no idea. But they're going to be telling us some way we're supposed to clean. VRMA is coming out with some guidelines. We've been involved. We'd love to dumb it down for our listeners. Not that they're dumb or down, But we want to just, it's kind of overwhelming when you start reading about specifics on disinfectants and a million things you need to do. So how would you start off with a smaller vacation rental company who's saying, how should I clean now versus how I cleaned before?
Sure. And I'm going to put on my Dirk Johnson hat for a moment. I'm channeling him right now. So I think the place to start is to really talk about the difference between disinfection and sanitization. And those things are similar, and I've seen those terms thrown around interchangeably, but they're actually not the same. So sanitization is the process of reducing the number of germs or virus particles on a surface. Disinfection is actually the process of killing those germs and virus particles. So they're two different things. The EPA has a great list on their website, and we're also sharing it as part of our guidelines, of different disinfection agents and products that are rated to be COVID killing. So you have to really look for that designation. They're not all the same. All of those disinfecting products have what's called a dwell time. If you have a spray product, you need to spray that on the surface that you are trying to disinfect and then let that sit for a certain amount of time. Again, you have to check your labels because they're all different. Some might have a 3 or 4 minute dwell time. Some might have a 20 minute dwell time. So being aware of the correct usage of that product is very important. You can talk to certainly your supply companies, wherever you're normally getting your products. You can check your current products that you have on hand and check it against those lists put out by the EPA. That's a starting point. We want to make sure that we are killing the virus. Just on that topic, really, we have to assume, because there is so much possibility of this COVID-19 being transmitted when somebody has few symptoms or no symptoms. We hear a lot about the asymptomatic carriers that are walking around. So from that standpoint, we have to assume it's in every house. Realistically, we don't know, and that's part of the risk, right? We don't want to gamble with the welfare of our employees and our guests or our owners. So we really have to treat every property as if we think it's there.
Let me jump in there and follow up on that, because I have actually seen the document. Of course, I helped a little bit on the creation of it. You're not going out there and telling folks this is what you need to do in terms of, like, for instance, you just talked about possibly the virus being in a property. You're not saying you need to have this property vacated for 3 days before you have the next guest. You're giving instructions on how you might ensure the safety of the next guest. Can you address that for a minute?
You're absolutely right. So we don't feel as the VRHP that we can tell companies what to do. We have merely provided the information that we have. There's a lot of research that's been released from the scientific community, from the medical community. We're using that information to inform the guidelines. So for instance, we know from existing research that respiratory droplets that have the virus can fall to the ground within about 3 hours. So that's one time frame to keep in mind. And then the surface time where a virus can live on a surface for X amount of time, that's different depending on what that surface is. So cardboard, it's 24 hours. Other surfaces, like certain metals, it's going to be longer than that. It could be 72 hours. So there is not an exhaustive list, and the science has not come back yet with recommendations or those timelines for soft surfaces like fabrics. But based on what we know, the VRHP recommendation is that the longer you can let a property sit empty in between visits is ideal. We also realize that from a business perspective, that's not always possible. So giving the virus that head start to either settle out of the air and or start degrading, because the virus degrades in half-lives, according to what we know. So the longer you can let it sit and at least start that degradation process, the better.
And so with your company where you work, or any of us, would you recommend that when a guest checks out, if possible, don't clean it right away?
Right. So that's the perfect world scenario. And we have all the time in the world. That's not going to be realistic for us as we get into the summer and start having our back-to-backs. We are trying to put some buffers into our calendar where we have had some cancellations, as have everybody, and trying to put in some of those one-day buffers so that if we get new bookings that come in there, things won't be quite so jammed up. So we have more time to air properties out, really go to town on our cleanings. But for the back-to-backs, what we're trying to do is extend our time frame for cleaning. So in asking guests to leave a little bit earlier, arrive a little bit later. We haven't figured out the plan fully yet, but that's what we're looking at right now.
So with your cleaning teams, what are you specifically doing, or what do you recommend we do that's different? Is it a different product? Is it different time things stay on different surfaces? What specifically are you changing because of COVID?
So one is making sure that we have those really good disinfecting products in our arsenal, making sure we're reading those labels, making sure that we have all the protective equipment that we need. That's new. In the past, we've had masks and gloves in our toolkit for a long time anyway. We're now looking at splash goggles. So that's something that's new. And the reason for the goggles is, again, for that air quality. If you think of a property and assuming that it has got COVID in it, you don't want to go in there before the air has had that chance to settle down without some kind of covering for your eyes. The mask is going to cover your nose and your mouth, but having a goggle or eye protection that has a good seal against it, so not regular eyeglasses that can let air in, but a true goggle can help protect your eyes from that.
Okay, and one last question on that is, those are some things you're doing to protect your cleaners and for your cleaners not to get COVID in the property, right? So gloves, a mask, which I find very hard to work out or do anything where I'm heaving up the stairs. So I don't understand how you can really work in a mask, but I guess we have to, and goggles. What are you, though, changing in your procedure for how you clean a property that you didn't, well, I don't want to say you didn't do it before, but what are you making sure you're doing now?
Of course, we have always had very high standards for cleaning, but really being able to focus a lot more on those high touch areas and making sure we're going over those with that disinfecting product. When we think of high touch areas, right? So that's doorknobs, lock boxes or electronic keypads, the front of the microwave, appliances, drawer pulls, all the interior doorknobs, closets, remotes, anything that's really going to get handled extensively throughout the home by multiple people is clothes hangers. There's a lot of that throughout the house, and that's part of what adds all that time in addition to the dwell time piece for products to work.
That's a great answer. That's the best answer I've ever gotten on that so far, because those are things, let's be honest, that maybe we skirted around before because you can't tell the doorknob wasn't cleaned. You know what I mean? And so this is that, those are specific, the high touch. That's a good way to identify what to start doing you might have skipped before, especially that keypad. I don't think we usually wash the keypad.
Right. And on those back-to-back days where everyone's rushing in, rushing out, we want to be thorough, but balancing that with the time constraints. So having that, a new policy for those high-touch areas is going to be helpful for everybody.
Michelle, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that's just how I roll. And so you've talked about the interior. We're going to see this document come out from VRMA in the next couple of days, and people will be reading through it. One thing that I am still not clear on is the outside of the property. Chairs, door handles, around the pool area. Is that a concern, or is it, as President Trump says, sunlight takes care of it?
Well, I wouldn't rely only on sunlight. Yeah. The rule of high touch applies to outdoor areas as well. So certainly outdoor furniture, the handle of the grill, those things. Again, just check labels, make sure, especially around a grill, you are not putting anything too flammable there, or you rinse it really well afterwards. Keep those things in mind for sure. But yeah, and anything that is going to be high touch, sliding door handles, all those things.
We do a lot of drain and fills on hot tubs, but not every single time, full disclosure. We might be switching to drain and fills every single departure until this chills out.
That probably couldn't hurt. And again, you just have to make sure that you're factoring that time in. Yes. Or, you know, you could work something out with your guest that maybe it, you know, some of that process is happening after they're there, but as long as people are outside and you're not going in the property while they're there. that's probably all right.
Okay, so I want to shift to something else here. We're going to talk about all these areas here, about the products, the PPE usage, the inspection process. But, you know, none of this means anything if we don't get the word out. Word out to our owners, word out to our guests. What kind of recommendations do you have there, Michelle?
That's a really good point. And we want to be telling our story always. And the story is now changing with COVID. And we need to make sure that everybody understands that internally and externally. So in terms of owners, for Atlantic Vacation Homes, we've certainly been communicating with our owners and keeping them up to date on what we're doing and how we're changing our procedures, and also changing policies that impact them around the cleaning, or certainly not allowing owners to do their own deep cleans, you know, things like that. Not with all this happening, no, certainly. So in regard to guests, being able to communicate in our email newsletters for now, we're looking at putting signage in the properties that talks a bit about the cleaning protocols that are happening. It's also something that you can tell the story in your local community and work with other organizations in your area to say, here's what we're doing to stop the spread. I know there's some communities throughout the US where vacation rentals are under fire right now. So being able to point to this and say, as an industry, we have these fairly rigorous protocols, and here's what we're doing to make sure that all of our guests are safe. Those conversations absolutely need to be happening at the local and state levels.
That's such a good point, that you can join together with other vacation rental companies in your area, proactively reach out to your county commissioners or whoever's making the decision about opening your area back up, because they don't know what they're doing either, right? They don't know. They never studied cleaning as to be a county commissioner. So if you can give them a feeling that 90% of the vacation rentals are going to be cleaned well and correctly, that seems like it would prompt them to possibly open the communities better. You mentioned the email newsletter. What do you mean by that? Do you mean like your advertising e-blasts? What are you doing specifically to tell guests about this?
So we do have a page on our website that we've linked to in our email communications that talks about what we're doing in light of COVID and how various policies have changed, et cetera. Right now, Massachusetts has put a ban on all lodging that is not specific to, for instance, housing, you know, frontline medical personnel and things like that until May 18th. Originally, it was May 4th, and they just extended the date. So we can take reservations for later in the summer. We just can't take any for before May 18th. So we have had a little bit of a soft marketing approach where we're not saying, you know, book now, book now, book now. There's also been concern in the community, and a lot of places in the U.S. are seeing this, where sort of local people not wanting out-of-towners to come in, and there's a lot of fear about who has it and who doesn't. So our marketing has been more like, hey, look how pretty our area is, and here's online tours you could be taking, tour the museum in a virtual tour. It's been a little softer, but then also starting to talk about, well, when you do come back, here's what you can expect, and here's the things that we're doing to keep everybody safe.
Okay, so let me ask you about your market particularly, because I think everybody's struggling right now with getting the proper guidance from their authorities, whether they be local or statewide. The country is in the midst of what appears to be a soft open, but we're also seeing record number of cases being reported. I'm wondering specifically in your market, Michelle, when you talk about people and demand and you're giving dates and so on. So I'm thinking things may be fairly positive there. And what sort of indicators are you looking for before you can start marketing that message back to the people?
We're thinking about really ramping up that marketing intensity over time. And as we get closer to that sort of mid-May date, we want to have a balance. We don't want to concern people within the community that suddenly we're going to have this massive influx of people from all over the country, all over the world, that could be bringing the virus and upsetting the delicate balance that we have now in the community, right? So we're a small sort of local area. We're about an hour from Boston. We don't want to overwhelm our hospitals, et cetera. So we're very sensitive to that. We've been in conversations with the Board of Health here. We want to make sure that we're working hand in hand with local authorities. As far as I'm aware, they're at a state level, they're looking for that plateau and that reduction in number of hospitalizations and new infections. And we just want to make sure that we're following the rules and keeping everybody as safe as possible.
Yeah, there is a real balance we have to strike. I have spoken to two different owners in my programs today. One of them is a mindset that he's not sure he even wants to rent his property again this year. I have another one who says we ought to be marketing to people to come to the beach to get away and quarantine at the beach. So what's the right decision, right? And so I know you thought about all this, again, back to the document of that balance. And if you are going to welcome guests, this is a good starting place.
Right. And being able to communicate what exactly your cleaning procedures are and what steps you're taking from cleaning, PPE, or you know, any other policy changes, being able to communicate that story to your owners and to your guests and to the community, it can only help you.
What's PPE?
Oh, sorry. Personal protective equipment. So like masks, gloves, goggles, those things.
I totally knew that. I did know that.
Sure you did.
But don't you believe, though, that professional vacation rental managers really have a shot at shining here? No pun intended on the cleaning. Because I would rather stay with a professional manager that has true cleaners. They're taking the laundry out. They're all of the things that professional managers do versus hoping Joe, renting his place on his own, cleaned this well enough for me.
This is definitely a chance for the professional managers to, again, it comes back to telling the story and making sure everybody knows what exactly is being done and why.
One other area I wanted to touch on, Michelle, is we've got the properties cleaned. We've informed our owners. We've informed our guests. Now we have guests there. Do we have recommendations for our professional vacation rental managers who are going to have their staff interact with the guests? I'm thinking specifically maintenance calls or maybe a mid-stay clean. Anything like that going to be addressed in this forthcoming document?
The name of the game is going to be triage. That's my key word, is triage. And really, again, it's going to be different for every business. You have to weigh all the different pros and cons of every decision, but a lot of our maintenance calls, I'm guessing, are going to be triaged so that if something really can wait, something minor needs to be replaced, or we may just ask the guests if it's okay if we defer that to after they depart. If there's something that really is an emergency or just cannot wait, we're going to make sure that we have the right protective clothing and equipment for that maintenance tech or anybody else that's going into the property. Mid-stay cleans, honestly, I'm not sure yet. So we have to figure that out for my company personally. But it's a business decision and just making sure that the employees are as protected as possible if you have to go in.
I think also we have to think about the guest and how they feel. I've talked to so many people that are on every bit of the spectrum. Like you said, Tim, with an owner that doesn't want to rent the place anymore, I'd say they don't need money. The owner that wants to rent it, they need money. But the guests, I've talked to so many people that are like, I'm not worried about it. So they wouldn't mind the maintenance guy coming in and fixing the dishwasher that's leaking all over. But then there's a guest that's going to be really uncomfortable. And we all have to take a new approach of saying, is it okay if we come when you're there? It's usually the question is it okay if we come when you're not there? Now we're going to have to say, is it okay if we come when you're there? Right?
Right. And really the recommendation is to go when they are not there. So those conversations need to be had. And if you're able to schedule a time with the guest to say, we need to send in our tech, our maintenance person, please vacate the premises. And maybe that's a go out to lunch, go to the beach, go out to dinner, whenever it works for the guest. And then to have that tech go in when they're not there, still having the appropriate amount of protective equipment on. But it's better if everybody can get out, even grandma, unfortunately. That's what's going to be the safest for everybody. And really being able to communicate that with the guest and couch it in, this is for your protection as much as it is for our protection. This is for everyone's safety. And I do think guests will understand that if it's said in the right way.
One other area we have not mentioned, but we need to talk to, is the vendors who we rely on as well. The air conditioning contractor, the electrician, the plumber. I can tell you from my experience, these guys haven't even thought about this stuff. So we have an education program there too, as we reach out to them and say, what are you going to do? And the setting of appointments and all that sort of thing. This is a real new world in a lot of ways.
And for business owners and managers to, again, be leaders in the community and have those conversations with the leaders in those other companies and those service providers and say, what are you going to do to keep our guests safe? And be able to say, well, we're going to need you to wear masks or gloves or whatever it is that's needed, and have them guarantee that.
Well, before we go back to normal, I have a real urge to go back to normalcy, as we all do. And so we're definitely doing a lightning round with you, Michelle. I don't know if you're even ready for this.
Uh-oh.
But before we do, I wanted to ask you both a question, and I'll share as well. Michelle, you're from the Northeast. Tim, you're in the Deep South. And I'm out here in crazy Colorado. What are you guys seeing, if you'll share, with bookings? We're all desperate to know if we're the only ones that aren't getting bookings, or if we're seeing a trend that no one else is seeing. So if you guys are up for sharing, I'll start first. I'll share so that you feel vulnerable. In the last week, I have noticed an ever slight uptick in bookings. That means it's gone from zero for 3 days straight to maybe one a day. And the other day we had two in one day. Normally we'd be having 10 to 12 right now per day. So I think it's a trend. It might just be me wishful thinking, but I think I'm seeing something. And summer for summer and summer for next winter, which is very normal for us to have winter bookings this far ahead. Anyone else want to share what they're seeing?
Unfortunately, this all hit right in still the meaty part of what we call booking season. We do a lot of advanced bookings. We really start after guests depart the summer before, and we take bookings throughout the winter into the spring, and then summer is the more last minute bookings. And we've had cancellations, we've had inquiries and some bookings. We are seeing a lot of inquiries that are sort of longer term, you know, multi-week, multi-month. A lot of people looking to go somewhere for the entire summer. So that is hopeful. But yeah, it's been a little up and down, two steps forward, one step back, but we're dealing with it as best we can.
When this all started to break down about the second week of March, we were already about 83 to 85% full for our summer season. And Sarah, you know, I've talked about the fact we have a 16-week window that we make 80% of our income. And so we were already at 80%+ full. Since then, we've had virtually no bookings. And so in that window, assuming and hoping that we will still have that 16-week window, maybe it's 14 weeks, maybe it's 12 weeks, whatever that window is, it is my belief that we have what we're going to have. We will probably book a few more weeks, but we will also probably offset whatever we book with cancellations for this year. And so the positive for me is to look ahead to 2021. I think there is a very positive vibe from folks already looking ahead to next year, kind of back to your winter bookings thing you were thinking about. And so that's my prediction or what have you. But yeah, we had three bookings yesterday. So there you go.
I do think as it eases, if it does, that there's pent up demand and we might see a big curve to fill last minute stays. Oh. So I'm still hopeful for that.
I like how you think. Okay, so you alluded to it, and I think Michelle is familiar with this. We did not warn her in advance, but this is our inane little game that we have not played in almost 2 months. And so we have pent up demand to put Michelle on the spot and ask her random off the wall questions that she can't prepare for to play rapid fire. So if you're ready, Michelle.
Sure.
Start the clock. All right, Michelle, you're driving down the road. You hear that jam. You got to turn it up. What's that song that embarrasses your kids?
Probably Don't Stop Believin'.
That's the second time someone said that song. That's a good one for right now.
That's true.
Yale English major. What's your favorite big word you throw out a lot when you're talking and you sometimes have to explain to somebody what it means?
I've said it a few times in advance of this podcast, but extemporaneous. I'm not always the best at speaking extemporaneously.
Ooh, can you spell that?
Probably. But that wouldn't fit into the rapid fire format.
Oh, boy. Good one. What's on your bucket list that you haven't checked off?
I would definitely love to travel more. I was very sad to not be able to go to Lisbon this spring with the VRMA European Conference.
Cape Anne. Why is it Anne? What'd she do?
She was the Queen of England at one point, I believe.
Queen Anne's Lace. It's why they
exactly.
say Anne.
All right, what's the best place for lobster? Yes.
There are many. There are many throughout the Cape Ann area. So it would be wrong of me to say just one. But pretty much anywhere you go, they're all good.
Come on, you gotta go there tonight. It's open. All the restaurants are open. Which one? They're not listening to this.
That's true. Jeff's Variety. They have a good lobster roll.
Oh, I want to go to dinner so badly. When you wake up in the morning, do you have a morning routine, and what is it?
Big no-no, apparently, from what all the experts say, but I generally spend some time before I actually get up checking my phone and checking on my email and just starting to think about my to-do list for the day in my head. And Facebook, of course. That's part of it.
All right, with all this self-quarantine going on and social distancing, have you found a binge show that has become a favorite for you?
Oh, well, of course, we blazed through Tiger King. That's been great. Yeah, Tiger King.
What app do you use the most to connect with people in this quarantine time of not seeing anybody?
Probably Zoom. We've been using it for work, but it's been also a great way to connect with college friends and high school friends. And I wish I had bought stock, but I didn't.
Okay, follow-up question for my last one about the binge watching. For those of us that have watched it, do you believe Carol Baskin fed her husband to the tigers?
I think anything is possible. I kind of hope that the husband is off on an island somewhere. He seemed capable of that, so.
Yeah, in his single engine plane that he was going to fly halfway across the world. All right, so one more for me. What gift or talent do you not currently possess that you wish you had?
Oh, that's easy. I cannot sing for the life of me.
Not even Don't Stop Believin'?
I mean, I can physically sing, but nobody wants to hear it, trust me.
All right, I'm going to go with anything is possible comment you had for my final question. What does the vacation rental travel scene look like a year from now?
I think a lot of our cleaning guidelines will still be in place. I do think travel will open up and we're just going to have a new normal.
Terrific. Well, that wraps up lightning round, or rapid fire as I like to call it. And as usual, Michelle, you win nothing but our undying appreciation for playing our name little game. And so that is Michelle Williams, the general manager of Atlantic Vacation Homes up in Gloucester. And one thing we didn't get to, but I want to tell everybody about, you just talked about Zoom meetings. You have one of the coolest things on your website, and that is Zoom meeting backgrounds that you can download. And so when you're on the Zoom meeting calls, you can get a picture of Rockport Harbor or the beach or the cove or whatever with your logo conveniently located in the lower side. So good marketing there, girl.
Cool.
Thanks, Tim.
How'd you do that?
It's actually not that hard. Yeah, so everyone can do that as part of telling their story. You can Google instructions, but I'm happy to share some out with you guys that you can share with your listeners.
Super hip, Michelle. Well, thank you for being on with us. I really appreciate that you gave us some specifics around cleaning. I appreciate your time you're putting to VRHP, and good luck up there as you move into your what's supposed to be very busy season. So it was so good to meet you. This is the first time I've really met you, even though you and Tim know each other, and I appreciate you being on.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Tim. This was fun.
And as always, to our fans out there and our listeners, please keep in touch. We really get energized by the comments we get from you. Of course, you can find us at sarahandt.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on LinkedIn with Sarah and T. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram at Sarah and T Podcast. And our latest way to get in touch with us, you can give us a phone call, 336-612-1612, and leave us a message. So Sarah, as usual, I know you look forward to hearing from our fans, and you respond very well when you do get comments or we get comments. And as always, great job.
Yeah, great to see you guys. Thanks, Tim, too. And everyone out there, it's May. Let's keep fighting the good fight. Things are lightening slowly but surely. We are going to make it through this. Get ready with your marketing. Get ready with your website. Be ready for the onslaught. That's what I'm doing.
Way to go. All right. So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, sarahandt.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sarah and T.